In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, Amen. Today, God willing, because we celebrated the feast of Abbas Khairun, and always Abbas Khairun reminds us with Ammarian. He was intercessor, and we don't forget that. We started last week the first part of the Acts of Apostles, and as far as I remember, we finished seven chapters from the book of the Acts of Apostles. And I remember that we said this is one of the very rare books that does not end with the word Amen, because it started with the birth of the church and never end until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it doesn't end by the word Amen. Instead, bin ulam tazal kalimatar of the words. So which means that the word is continuing to work. Also, we said that this book starts with the church in heavens. How? The first chapter was the ascension of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, into heavens. This was the first chapter when he blessed his holy disciples and lifted up in heavens. And because we do know that the head of the church is our Lord Jesus Christ, so if he ascended into heavens, it means that the head of the church is in heaven, which means that the church is a heavenly body, not an earthly body. It's a heavenly body. And this on the level of the church as a whole, and also individually, on the level of each one of us. This means, so long I'm Christian, then my head is the head of Christ. So I am the body of Christ. I am one of the organs which form together the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he himself is the head of this church. This is chapter number one. It's just a quick revision for those who did not attend with us last time. Chapter two was the birth of the church. The birth of the church through the Holy Spirit, and we found that the church practiced five sacraments from day one. Five sacraments. Because when the Holy Spirit came down from heavens on the disciples and the apostles and the women, which were altogether 120 persons, all of them were speaking tongues and were prophesying. However, St. Peter, he himself, gave a talk. And this talk was very, very strong one. And the listeners who were assembling in the Pentecost of the Jews at that day, because the birth of the church happened on the day of the Pentecost, the seventh day, on the seventh week of the great feast, the last day. And the Lord changed it from being a Pentecostal end or the end of the Old Testament to the new birth, to restart it in the new form after the salvation was performed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So the birth of the church, after St. Peter gave this talk, they were cut to heart and they asked the people what to do. And the disciples said to them, repent and confession, be baptized, this is the baptism, and you will accept or receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is the confirmation. And because the disciples were, as we know, they were priests already. They were ordained by the Lord just before the ascension, when he breathed into their faces and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit, go, teach, baptize, disciple, teach, disciple, and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they gave them the power of performing healings and miracles. So they were priests. This is the fourth one. And this was chapter 2, verse 37. Verse 42, we find the liturgy. And the liturgy was very clear because he said that they continued on the doctrine of the apostles, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And these are the four actions of the liturgy, as we said, as we spoke last and explained last week. Doctrine of the church is the readings that we call it now, the liturgy of the word, which starts with the readings and ends with the sermon. Then the fellowship is the ologia. And the ologia is distributed by the priest at the end of the church. This is what remains from the fellowship that they used to have together. They used to eat together because they were coming from certain places and villages carrying some food with them. They were distributing the food on one table and they were ate one meal together as a sign of fellowship. And then breaking of the bread is the division, the distribution of the Holy Communion, because in Greek language it was known as, or this translation is not accurate, breaking of bread is not accurate. The accurate translation is the distribution of the Holy Communion, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This then the prayers, different prayers that we have in the liturgy. We saw also in chapter 3 that the disciples were poor in money but very rich in spirit. By this richness, Peter healed the lame man who was begging for years at the door of the beautiful, or at the beautiful door in the temple. And after that, he jumped, ran, he entered the vehicle of the sanctuary of the temple for the first time in his life. We saw also in chapter 4 that there was some difficulties from outside, from the Jews who did not believe in Jesus Christ and started to persecute Peter and John. They imprisoned them, they threatened them, but they were not afraid of that. In chapter 5, we saw the first challenge happen. Hananiah and Sapphira, when they stole, it was a stealing, half of the amount of the field that they sold, and they kept half of it and brought half of it under the feet of the disciples. And it was a challenge because they did not recognize that the Holy Spirit will reveal the fact to St. Peter. And this is what happened, that St. Peter said to him, "Why do you lie? Why do you tempt the Holy Spirit?" Taban, we know what happened. They couldn't bear the shock. And Hananiah fell down, died. And after 3 hours, the same happened to his wife. In chapter 6, we saw the first challenge, the first problem which faced the church when the Greek widows and the poor complained that they were ignored from the daily service. And the solution was that they decided to select or elect 7 deacons. This happened. They elected the 7 deacons, and then the first of them was Saint Stephen. And in chapter 7, we will find the martyrdom of Saint Stephen, the proto-martyr, and the archdeacon. This is the summary of the 7 chapters. In chapter 8, who has the Acts of Apostles will be good if you have it in your iPhone, or you can get the Bible. In chapter 8, we will find that after the martyrdom of St. Stephen, there was a very difficult time against the church. And it starts with the verse, now it happened in Iconium, they went together. This is the beginning of chapter 8. Saul was satisfied on the martyrdom of St. Stephen, and he started a great persecution against the Christians. And what happened? Most of the people and some of the disciples left Judea. And this is was the first extension. As the Lord said to them in the beginning, starting of Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the end of the world. So what happened at that time, the people could not bear the persecution and difficulty, so they scattered here and there. They started to go to Judea and Samaria. So Philip, who was one of the 70 apostles, and he was deacon also, so he went to Samaria. He went to Samaria. And the Lord performed on his hands many miracles and wonders. And there was a man, sorcery or magician, yani, and his name was Simon. But what Philip did was much more than the power of Simon himself. And many believed in Saint Philip, and at that time, Simon himself believed in Jesus Christ. And it was said that the people who believed in Jesus Christ, they said, this man is the great power, or this man is the great power of God. But now, after they it was about Simon. Now, after they believed in Philip preaching, they believed in Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, men and women. Simon himself also was baptized, and it was said that he burnt the book of sorcery. And because Philip, here is a very important critical point, who has the chapter with him, في حد ما إلا, yeah, in verse 14, you will hear, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Okay? Who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? Philip preached the gospel to them. Philip baptized them. But he could not give them the Holy Spirit. There was an order from the beginning. It was, yani, everything was in order. Philip was just a deacon. And the deacon at that time was allowed to help in baptism, because I baptize myself, I immerse myself, to receive the Holy Communion, to receive the Holy Spirit in the what we call the Mayerun sacrament. It needed the priests. That's why Peter and John went to them, sent by the disciples, and then they said, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized. Then they led, who led? Peter and John. They led their hands, or laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So, yani, this is a very important point, because when we say that the priest is the tool or the consecrated, specialized servant through which we receive the sacraments, we do not invent anything from ourselves. It's from the Bible. Philip preached to them, baptized them, but he couldn't give them the Holy Spirit. So when Simon saw that Hannibal, in a very Bardo, another critical point. In verse 18, بيقول إيه. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. What was his thought? Business. Business. He aimed for business. So he wanted to bribe, to give bribe to the disciples, Peter and John, to give him the authority to lay his hands on anyone, and of course at that time he will be paid. You remember when I was reading the Synaxarium on Sunday, I said about Simonia comes from this event. Simonia means, God forbid, Yanni, I go to Pope Shenouda the Third, I give him some money, he ordains me. This is what we call Simonia or Simonism. Simonism or Simonia means you pay something to get an order of the church, which is very bad. Listen what happened. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you. Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Wow! What a severe, what a harsh. But it must be. This must have been from the beginning. For the people to recognize everything. That's why we always say in the church, we do not sell the sacraments. For anyone who comes for baptism, we never charge him. If he wants to donate to the church, that's it. If we marry him, if I go to anointing the sick man or woman or any sick at home and pray the seventh or the sacrament of the anointing, never charge the people for that. Why? Because he said, freely you have received, freely give. The sacraments are not for sale. The sacraments are given for free. Why? Because it's already paid. And the price, nothing in the whole world can compare it. Nothing. The price of the blood of Jesus Christ. Full stop. We get the sacraments now through the price that the Lord already paid on the cross when he was crucified for our sake and gave us the salvation and the remission of our sins. Very important. And this challenge was very, very, very strong from St. Peter. And then you look what happened. Simon was frightened. And he said to them, Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. This problem was very clear, and unfortunately, it happened during the 20 past centuries in the church, not the Coptic church, in the church as a whole, that some people paid money to have an order. And some people not only tried to bribe the patriarch, but to bribe the governor, to force the patriarch to ordain him. Anyhow, what I want to say, that the price of the sacrament is not my prayer. The price of the sacrament is not my fasting, is not my giving alms. Even is not my repentance. So I can say that I repent, that I will get, then I will get the forgiveness of my sins. This is not the price. Even if my father in confession asks me for certain spiritual practicing after I confess, it's not the price of my sickness. If he asks me for metanias, 20 metanias in the morning, or fasting 3-4 days, it's not the price of the forgiveness of my sins. Only the price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Put in your mind that we pray because we do need the prayers, but we don't pray to get the forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness of our sins is paid to us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is or must be very clear to us. This is the most important thing in chapter 8. Move to chapter 9 quickly. We may have only 8 or 9 today. The marvelous miracle that the Lord did in chapter 9. He changed the persecutor into apostle. He hunted Saul to be St. Paul. Saul who persecuted. Saul who was very satisfied with the martyrdom of St. Stephen. Saul who was thinking that the Christians are following a false prophet. Saul, who took permissions, officially permissions, from the scribes and the high priests to arrest the Christians and put them in prisons and persecute them. This Saul was visited by the Lord who looked at his heart and changed him to be one of the most active apostles in the history of the church. Most active apostle. And this is very good. And this is a very important point and important lesson to us. No desperation. Don't fall into desperation. Nothing is impossible in his hand. Nothing is impossible before the Lord. He can do everything. He can change the black into white, the evil into righteous, the devil into an angel. He is able to do that. If he finds you just a small, a very tiny light in your heart, he starts. If he finds that you want but you are not able, he goes to you and visits you and encourages you and changes your life. Don't fall into desperation whatsoever. Always have hope. Always have hope in Christ. Sometimes we fight against one of our weaknesses, and after a long time we give up. We say, no hope. Alas, I tried many times and there's no hope. Don't say that. Don't say that. Look at Saul. Look at Moses the Black. Look at Mary Magdalene. Look at Mary of Egypt. Look at Augustine. Look at Ambrosius, the patron of Italy. So all these people were living a very bad life. But the Lord visited them. And they opened their heart to him. And they were saved. But the most impressive example of today is St. Paul. St. Paul. And it's very interesting to read how did the Lord change his life. He was going to Damascus, and then all of a sudden, a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard the voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Very important. Those who persecute the Christians anywhere, everywhere, are persecuting Jesus Christ. And be sure of that. If they persecute me just before I am Christian, so this persecution will be counted to our Lord Jesus Christ. He will take it to himself. And this is what he said to Saul. Why are you persecuting me? And then Saul, who became after that Paul, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said to him, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goats." تعرفين الجوتس الجوتس بتاعت الهورسز دي الجوتس الهورسمان بيبقى حاطط رجليه كده وفي piece of زي small rod كده and when he wants to guide the horse he kicks the horse with these goads بيسموها مناخس بالعربي مناخس وجاية منها نخسة cut to the heart جاية من كلمة نخسة أو منخس this goad G-O-A-D they use it it's well known with the horsemen and some of them in jockeys فقال له it's very hard for you you will not succeed whatsoever. I'm like a goat. Can you kick the goat? You will be hurt. You will be hurt. Then Saul arose from the ground. When his eyes were opened, he saw no one. A period of 3 days in between the first sight and the second one. The first sight and the second one. His eyes were opened, but he did not see anyone. It's like a curtain on his eyes, blocked his eyes. But he was still opening. What does it mean? It means that there are many people who are open-eyed, but they don't see. They see themselves from inside, but they don't see the others. That's why the Lord permitted Saul to be blind without seeing anyone for 3 days. For 3 days. Then they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. 3 days. He was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Fasting to get the new sight, to get the new life. This is what happened. Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. Ananias was the bishop of Damascus. But at that time, until that time, every Christian was called disciple. But he was bishop. We'll see now. Question. The Lord who appeared to Saul wasn't enough for him to change his life immediately? It was. But what happened here? What's the meaning of that? What we can learn from this, that he sent him to Hananias, the bishop of Damascus. What does it mean? Yeah. He ordained the priests. He ordained the bishops. Exactly like when he one day healed a leprous man. He said to him, go and show yourself to the priest to get the permission that you are healed. It happened here. The Lord could have changed his life immediately, but the Lord said no. He has to go consequently on the steps that I told them from the beginning. He went to Damascus, and he appeared to Hananiah. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, appeared to Hananiah, ordered him to receive Paul and to baptize him. Hananiah was afraid, and he said, didn't you hear, my Lord? It was the one a little bit, sorry, and silly from Hananiah to say to the Lord, didn't you hear about what Saul was doing against Christians? He said, I know. I will change his life to be an elected vessel for me. And this is what happened. So the Lord, who has the order, who put the order of priesthood, respects the order of priesthood. He himself respects that. And he ordered Hananiah, the bishop of Damascus, first to heal him. Second, to hear his confession. Third, to baptize him. And this is what happened. This is what happened. Fish haga keda yani. I can say, okay, I don't have keda odam rabbina. I stand before him and said, I repent and that's it. And no. It's not known from the very beginning. Yes, I repent. Yes, I regret. But I need to confess. I need to go to the priest. I need the absolution. I need the permission to go ahead in my spiritual path and my spiritual growth. This is what happened. He said to him, Hananiah. Ananias said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Street and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Hananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Hananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And you know the rest of the story. A cataract operation. This is what happened. Cataract operation. He put his hand on his eyes, and then exactly like what happens now, they pull out the cataract, and this is what happened. Look. You may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. Cataract. Scales, and you receive this sight. The first cataract operation mentioned in the gospel, in the Bible. Yeah? This is what happened. And he arose and was baptized. He arose and was baptized. And then so when he had received food, he was straightened, then strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus, and so on. So this, the change of this life, of the life of this man, means that nothing is impossible. The man who was frightening and threatening the Christians became the one that was severely persecuted, severely suffered. You can't imagine. Paul went to three trips all over the region, Italy, Greece, and all this, Turkey. And three times the boat was broken with him. And he swam to the seashore three times. If it happens with me once in a boat, I doubt that I may repeat it again to be in the boat. But it happened with him three times. Three times he was smacked 39 slashes on his back. Three times. Many others. Persecutions, except the suffering from inside also against him. And this is what the Lord informed Saul, informed Hananias. I will see him how will suffer for my name's sake. This was Saul who became now, or after that, who became Paul, the most active apostle in the history of the church. I think we stop at this point. Inshallah, we continue next week, the third and then the fourth part. But last time, we can summarize the seven chapter in one word, preaching in Jerusalem. Chapter 8 and 9, preaching in Judea and Samaria. And then, as of chapter 10, we'll go to the end of the earth, as the Lord asked them in chapter 1, Acts of Apostles. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Do you have any question or meditation or opinion? May the Lord, who started this church in a very strong way, continue with us to have the same strong faith and the same strong life, and have the same strong service to our people for the continuity of the church from generation to generation. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. God's worthy to pray to you, thankfully, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we good trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Christ is our Lord, and then the kingdom of God. فنشكر صانع الخيرات الرحم الله أبا ربنا إلهنا وخلصنا يسوع المسيح لأنه سترنا وأعنا وحفظنا وقبلنا إليه اشفق علينا وعضلنا وتبنا إلى هذه الساعة وأيضا في النسل وإن أحفظنا في هذا اليوم مقدس كل حياتنا بكل سلام الضابط كل رب إلهنا أيها السيد رب الإله ضابط الكل أبا ربنا إلهنا وخلصنا والمسيح أشكرك على كل حال ومن أجل كل حال وفي كل حال لأنك سترتنا وأعنتنا حفظتنا وقبلتنا إليك شفقت علينا وعضدتنا وتدبنا لهذه الساعة نجل هذا نسأل من صلاحك يا محب البشر نحن أن نكمل هذا اليوم المقدس كل حياتنا بكل سلام مع مخافتك كل حسد وكل تجربة كل فعل الشيطان وأمر الناس الأشرار قيام الأعداء الخفيين والظاهرين انزه عنا وعن سائر شعبك وعن موضعك المقدس هذا مصالح حياتنا النافعات فارزقنا إياها أنك أنت الذي أعطيتنا السلطان ندوس على الحياة والعقارب كل قوات العدو ولا تقن التجارب لكن نجنا من الشرير نعم والرفاة ومحبة البشر لوات ابنك الوحيد ربنا أولاه يسوع المسيح الذي من قبل المجد والكرامة والعزة السجود تليق بك مع الروح القدس المحيم ساوي لك الآن كل عن الدهر دور أمين A mercy upon me, O God, according to your great mercy, and according to the multitude of your compassion, blot out my iniquity. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my iniquity, and my sin is at all times before me. Against you only I have sinned and done evil before you, that you might be just in your sayings and might overcome when I judged. I was conceived in iniquities, and in sins my mother conceived me. For behold, you have loved the truth. You have manifest to me the hidden and unrevealed things of your wisdom. You shall sprinkle me with your hyssop, and I shall be purified. You shall wash me, and I shall be made whiter than snow. You shall make me to hear gladness and joy. The humble bones shall rejoice. Turn away your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in my inward parts. Do not cast me away from your face, and do not remove your Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a directing spirit. Then I shall teach the transgressors your ways, and the ungodly men shall turn to you. Deliver me from blood, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall rejoice in your righteousness. O Lord, you shall open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. For if you desired sacrifice, I would have given it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and humble heart. God shall not despise. Do good, O Lord, in your good pleasure to Zion, and let the walls of Jerusalem be built. Then you shall be pleased with sacrifice of righteousness, of offering and burnt sacrifices. Then they shall offer calves upon your altar. Alleluia.